Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Prosperity is our divine inheritance. The reason why I say that is because I have a different title on my talk. What I was thinking about as I was putting it together. To start this off, I'm going to read from the Metaphysics 2 book, the section on metaphysics of prosperity. It says, prosperity is the abundance of every good thing our heart desires. This blessing originates in God, the source of all good. I don't know if you understand what that means, but the word desire means what? Of God. All right, so it says, this blessing originates in God, the source of all good. It is manifested in our lives through our enlightened use of divine ideas of good, which we receive and been inspired from God. When we consciously work with these ideas and use them wisely and lovingly, bountiful blessings will flow into our lives. And as our awareness increases of the infinite supply which is perpetually available to us, our prosperity demonstrations will continue to increase. Our every need will be abundantly met in the most appropriate and fulfilling ways. So that's kind of the essence of what we're going to talk about in this talk is how metaphysics impacts the prosperity in our lives, okay? And we want to increase our level of thinking around that idea of metaphysics. Now, I'm going to do what I do at my class at school a lot. You know, who knows what the four P's of marketing are? Product, price, placement, and promotion. So when I walk into the class, first thing I says, what are the four P's of marketing? Like a choir, they have to sing product, price, placement, and promotion. So it gets into their heads, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to go over, well, we can't, don't have the letters like that, but we're going to go over the five parts of unity metaphysics, okay? Now, how many people know the five parts of unity metaphysics? See? So we're going to have to go over them over and over again. Okay, so, and this is unity metaphysics as defined by our co-founder, Charles Fillmore. So the five parts of unity metaphysics are cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism. You never heard that before, Mary? Okay, all right. All right, well, that's sort of a basic concept in unity when we talk about metaphysics. You know, metaphysics takes on different forms, but that's what we look at. So encompassed in the idea of unity metaphysics is this cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism. Now, theology is a study of religious faith, practice, and experience, especially the study of God and God's relationship to the world, okay? And from a philosophical, notice that word, from a philosophical perspective, psychology is a branch of metaphysics that studies the soul and the mind and the manner in which the experiences in our lives and the thoughts of our mind contribute to the well-being or lack of well-being in our lives, okay? Now, science, of course, is the observation, identification, description, experiential investigation, and theoretical explanation of phenomena. And we're going to talk more about the idea of phenomena in our minds a little bit. And mysticism is the belief that direct knowledge of God, spiritual truth, or ultimate reality can be attained through subjective experiences such as intuition or insight, and they can be enhanced by the practice of meditation and prayer. So when you talk about mystical ideas, you know, we get those through intuition. And you can increase that process the more time you spend in prayer and meditation. And we're going to explain, you know, I know this is a lot to take in, but we're going to explain this throughout this talk. Now, each of these disciplines are integrated into every lesson that we teach here in one way or another. However, cosmology, you notice I didn't define that yet, okay? Cosmology is a discipline that's really central to today's lesson. Cosmology is a study of the physical universe And before I say this, it'll sound confusing, but we'll explain it, all right? So cosmology is a study of the physical universe considered as a totality of phenomena in time and space. Now, in other words, what is the impact on my life of all the experiences I've had throughout time and space? So remember I said that consciousness is a sum total of every experience you've ever had, but not just the experience itself. It's your reaction to the experience that creates your consciousness. Does that make sense? Okay. So in Kantian philosophy, the definition of phenomenon is the appearance of an object to the mind as opposed to its existence in and of itself, independent of the mind. Now, for example, let's say that there is lack in your life. Whatever that lack may be, it could be lack of love, lack of health, lack of money, lack of companionship, lack of meaningful, fulfilling work, lack of peace, or whatever you feel that you are lacking. The question to ponder from a metaphysical perspective is, does this experience of lack exist independent of my mind? If I could truly stop believing in the experience of lack, could the experience continue without me supporting it? All right, so that's, get the concept? All right, and I want to repeat that a couple of times. So this is the nature of cosmology and its relationship to metaphysics. And just for emphasis, here's the same question asked in a slightly different way. Must the basis for an experience first be in my mind before I can manifest it in my life? Or if it is no longer in my mind, will it cease to exist? Or from the perspective of this lesson, can physics exist without metaphysics? Is everybody following me? Okay. Now, can you have the physical experience without first having the thought which imagines, creates, and supports the physical experience? Now, in a lot of ways, we'll think about that. We'll say, well, yeah, you know, the God person who developed that chair had the thought, and then the thought manifested as he created the chair. Or all of these wonderful apps that are coming out, and you know, all this stuff and technology that's coming out. Somebody had that in their mind first, and then it manifested, like that telephone that's going off right now. But the other side of this is that there are things that happen in our lives, and we go, "Well, I wasn't thinking about that." Okay. But what we're trying to get to from the standpoint of cosmology and metaphysics is that if it's happening in your life, it's going on somewhere inside of you, whether you are conscious of it or not. Okay, so you know now that's a bit of redundancy, you know, with those different questions. But hopefully it'll help us understand the role of cosmology and it plays in unity metaphysics. Okay, now our perceptions cause us to establish a mental condition which continues to support and perpetuate what we believe to be the physical circumstances in our lives. In other words, if something's happening, you know, we want to stop it from happening, but the very fact that we're dealing with it causes it to continue to perpetuate, continue to happen, okay? So, in other words, if your perception is that because you have no job, you are jobless, it establishes a mental condition which makes it difficult to find a job. Or if your perception accepts the negative report, you get a report about your health, and your perception accepts that report as being a true reality, then it makes it difficult for you to become healed. Okay, so it's like, you know, the idea of just between being poor and being broke. You know, poor is a mental, emotional condition. Being broke is temporary. I just don't have it right now, but I know I'm going to get it. All right, so those mindsets are what's creating what's happening in our lives. But being realistic in terms of where we are in consciousness right now, our thoughts, feelings, and emotions are justifiable. In other words, if I'm experiencing this thing, it's justifiable that I'm experiencing this thing. My whole being is wrapped around what I'm experiencing right now. You know, I'm hearing this new information, but I've got to be able to break that connection I have apart before I can, you know, move my way through this idea. It's sort of like if you were here last week and I talked about, this is a Ram Dass idea that ego is like a box. And we're in this box, and all of the stuff of our lives is in this box. Our perceptions, our fears, our joys, our happiness, our sadness, our hates, our unforgiveness, everything is in this box, right? And that's all we know. So somebody's talking to us, and we're talking to them from the box. Okay, we can't get outside of the box. Remember I said the ego can't jump out of the ego, right? But through prayer and meditation and contemplation of spiritual ideas, what happens is all of a sudden you realize there's a door to get out of the box. Okay? And sometimes in meditation, everybody here I know has had the experience, you've had those moments, that's called a crack in the cosmic egg, where you stepped out of the box and had experiences that were not very dissimilar from what's in the box. And that's what Jesus meant when he says, when you discover the truth will set you free from the box. Okay? But what Ram Dass says is really interesting, though, is that because we have to exist in this world with friends and relatives and everything, we have to go back into the box in order to deal with each other. You get what I'm saying? Otherwise, people would be going, who are you? Right? Okay? But what will happen over time is the box will not be this dark place that we're in. We'll get windows in it, and we have this door, and now we know where the door is, and we know how to go out in and out of the door. Okay, and then over time, as we evolve, we'll begin to understand that there is no box. The box is an illusion. Our ego is an illusion. The way we perceive ourselves is all an illusion. All right. Now I'm going to keep working with that, right? Because the reason I'm going to keep working with it because I want to understand it better. You know, and that's when you hear me, you know, go over ideas over and over again, is because I myself don't fully understand it, and I'm trying to get a better grasp of what it's all about. Okay, so this idea, and Pamela said to me, "You didn't lose your place this time, but I just lost my place, son. So I got to find out where I am." Right? Okay. So let me just say again. So being the idea of how we are now is what I just said. It's justifiable according to where we are now. We can't negatively judge ourselves for being who we are, you know, and how we experience and how we react to life. But what we're exploring here today is, from a metaphysical perspective, even though you may be experiencing some challenging circumstance in your life, they are not your true reality. They are not the truth that you could be experiencing from an expanded consciousness. They're our reality right now because this is all I've ever known. Remember I said to you, see, when we interact with each other, we're not interacting with each other in this moment. We're interacting with our history. You know, everything that happened to us is at this moment right now while I'm talking to you. Okay? So the key here is we're saying that's okay, but we're learning that there is another dynamic. There's another reality that we can move into. So in other words, if your physical reality says, I don't have enough money, or whatever it is you feel you're lacking in your life, it doesn't negate the fact that it doesn't negate the metaphysical truth that God is the source of my supply. You know, all of my being is saying, well, I don't have enough money, or I may not have enough money, or I may not, whatever it is. You know, those of us who are getting up in age and saying, well, I'm not going to be able to do what I used to do, you know, all that kind of stuff. All those are things that we say, but like, you know, Pam showed me a video yesterday of a 72-year-old woman who was lifting weights and all this. But I said to Pam, remember, Carol, who comes to the club every day when I'm there, is 82, and she's still doing everything she used to do, right? Because her mind is, this is what I've always done. You know, so it depends on what you have in your box that causes you to believe this is all that I can that it can be for me. All right. So and in your, you know, if your metaphysical reality may be that your body is not experiencing health, but from a practical experience, your body may be saying to you, my body is not experiencing good health. But we have to understand that we have within us the perfect Christ body. And the reason why I'm hesitating, because I read last night from Paramahansa Yogananda's explanation of the Bhagavad Gita, this incredible explanation of the layers of things that happen before we get to the skin. You get what I'm saying? So before you get to the skin, there are layers of things behind that, and one of those layers is absolutely perfect. Okay? And so when we do have illness, and when we become healthy, we get over the illness. It's not the medicine, material medica, and all these things helped. But what's really going on was that we were getting more in touch with that perfect Christ body, the ethereal body, the essence of who we really are. Is that making sense? Okay. So if we had that in mind, say, okay, well, I'm experiencing this, whatever it is, but I know that I have within me the perfect Christ body. All right. And so in my meditations, it's for me to move into that idea. Not so much, God, please heal me, but God, help me to know that I am already whole and get in touch with that wholeness. So that's sort of the dynamic. You know, and so, you know, if you're going through this idea, you know, your physical reality being, you know, I am unworthy. I do not deserve. I do this talk with my students all the time because it's interesting how these 18, 19-year-olds are going through this, 17, 18, 19-year-olds are going through this thing of feeling unworthy. All right? So my whole talk is, you know, integrated into marketing and these business ideas is this whole thing about, you know, their personal worthiness. All right? So That's the concept. You know, when you say I'm not worthy, but you got to understand that you're the son, you're the daughter of a living God. You're the essence of what God is. You're made out of God stuff, okay? And so it's beginning to just get in touch with it. So the study of unity metaphysics is the study of our physical reality and how that reality relates to the question, what is the truth? Or from a more personal metaphysical way of putting it, what is my truth? Okay, if you say something like I am angry, or I'm upset, or I'm scared, or whatever those things are, you got to get to the point where you say, but you know what? Yes, I feel that, but that's not my truth. That is what my emotions are telling me right now. That's what my perceptions are telling me right now. But that is not my truth. Okay, and regardless of the appearances, experiences, or whatever's going on in your life, that is not your truth. You're the living expression of God. You know, that's what we all are. We are the living expression of God. And even when we find ourselves talking about others in negative ways, especially, you know, what I'm talking about, the news, we got to also realize that that is also a living expression of God. Okay? We are all the Christ who have forgotten who we really are. That's the essence of it, okay? And I'm not saying don't do those things. It's fun to sit around and talk about people, right? So just do what you feel to do, right? Okay? So the metaphysics of prosperity has to do with being able to distinguish perception from truth. Did you get that? Okay? So in John 18:37, when Jesus was talking to Pilate, Jesus said, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Now, the question that this poses for each one of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our example and way shower is, for what reason am I here? Who's asked themselves that question? We all ask ourselves that question. Why am I here? Am I here to bear witness to my perceptions? Or am I here to bear witness to the truth? And unfortunately, our perceptions often have some form of fear attached to them. You're doing extremely well, got all the money you want, health, everything is going great, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking what? Ooh, what happens if I should lose this? You know, you follow what I'm saying? So even when we're doing great, there's fear attached to what's going on, okay? So truth is based purely on the blessing that you are. In other words, so all the things we say, I can't remember this statement about, what is it we say in traditional, I'm a sinner, and, you know, that remember that thing we just, blessing of God, whatever. But instead of this idea in traditional Christianity that we would say we're sinners, that we are blessings, right? I am a blessing. And there's more to it than that. It'll come to me hopefully maybe before this is over, but it's that I'm a wonderful blessing. But we've been told all our lives, in the Christian faith especially, that we are sinners. It seems silly to us now, but when we're in that, it was like, oh yeah, me, I'm in trouble, right? Okay. Now, and the point, of our spiritual development is, we're sort of like Pilate, asking the truth. Jesus said, I've come to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate would say, but what is truth? Okay? Or more specifically, what is the truth I am here to bear witness to? My own truth or the truth that God is? And that, and up to this point, we've been bearing witness to our own truth because that's all we knew. We're in the box. And all we know is the truth that's in that box. You get me? All right? But the door is open, and we stepped out of that door, and we begin to learn there's another truth, a truth greater than what's in this box. And the truth that Jesus was referring to is a truth that transcends or has the power to transform physical truth. Did everybody catch that? All right? All right? And this is how metaphysics trumps physics. Metaphysics trumps physics. Physics says this is what is happening. But metaphysics says if I'm operating from a higher level of consciousness in what is happening, I can change that that is happening. Okay? And a revealing word defines truth as the absolute. Absolute means perfect in quality and nature, complete, pure. Truth is that which is complete in complete harmony with God. It is the divine principle, that which is, has been, and ever will be. Truth is that which is which eternally is, just as we say God is. The truth of God is pure reality, the same yesterday, today, forever. And it's what Jesus, what we read in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the power in that is, sometimes we think, well, God, what happened? Nothing happened with God. Something happened with me. Something happened with my perception. All right? And so think about the circumstances in your own lives right now. Are there things going on for you right now that cause you to wonder and ask, in comparison to what is happening in my life, my body, my mind, right now, is there a higher truth, a higher possibility for me? Yeah? Okay. How many people had pain that is no longer there? Okay. How many people are still having pain? Yeah, we know, okay? The key is to get your mind to know that you can transcend that. It has to be a belief that is so deep in you that even when you are in the worst pain, you know that there is something higher than this. Okay? I think I share with you the pain that all, many of you know that I suffered with for that 6 months. The thing that causes it is still there, but there is no pain. Okay? It took 6 months. It takes what? However long it takes. But what I learned from that, I know I've shared this with you before, the reason why it took so long is because I kept wanting to get well so I could go back. Go back to what I was doing. Exactly. It hung in there until I began to realize I can't go back. Did you make sense? So if you're struggling with something, you got to ask yourself, what is this really trying to tell me? That's what you want to get to. What is it really trying to tell me? Like the Native Americans would gather around a person who's sick, and they would walk around and keep walking around until that person could tell them what they really was trying to say. And once they could come up and bring up and say what they really want, then the illness went away. Yeah, what are you not telling us? Okay. And so it's the same with your own body. You got to ask, what is it that you're not saying? What is it you want me to understand? Does that make sense? Okay, and then, are you wondering, how can I bear witness to the higher truth in the face of what is occurring in my life right now? Okay, or in other words, how can I come to know the truth that I'm abundantly supplied if that's not my experience? How can I come to know the truth that I have the perfect Christ body if that's not my experience? Well, metaphysically, prosperity is based on the conscious realization that God's abundance is the background of our mind. All right? It is the ground of your being. And again, in talk of my Jesuit friend, we were emailing back and forth, and he said to me, which I thought was so powerful for a Jesuit, it's God is the ground of our being. Okay? And we know the verse that says, take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. And the reason why I take off the shoes from your feet, because shoes represent man's understanding. Right? So take off the shoes from your feet means as you are going into prayer, take off your understanding, your intellectual understanding of what you think is going on. And you have to stand purely with your bare feet on holy ground so you can receive the message from God. And that burning bush is saying, here's the answer. It's a burning desire, and you'd want to give you the answer. But if you're standing there in your own understanding, you won't get it. Okay? So therefore, from this place in consciousness, I didn't give you all three. So God is the background, and the manifestation, what's going on out here in this world, is the foreground of your mind. But there's the midground. And the midground is where when you receive these divine ideas from Spirit, they come into the midground, but they come in and they will take on the shape of what is going on in that midground and then manifest into the world. So the same divine potential could enter into every one of our minds and manifest out here in totally different ways. Okay? So if you want the answer to the prayer, the best thing to do is have nothing going on in the midground. Otherwise, it's going to take on the shape of that which you're thinking about or that which you are fearful about. Okay, does that make sense? So therefore, from this place of consciousness, midground, we can choose to look at our life experiences through the window of our perceptions and choose that reality, or we can choose to turn within, look within to the truth that God is the source of my supply and choose that reality. And I know I'm trying to make it sound easy, but it's not. Okay, it's not easy, all right? And so if you're protesting and thinking, well, but I feel the sensation of fear from the perceptions of not having enough, or I feel the perceptions of fear from what is happening in my physical body, or I feel the perceptions of fear from what is going on in my relationship or the health of my parents or the success of my business career, I feel it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? You know, we're saying, well, yeah, I know there's this whole other thing. I can choose God's reality, but that is not what I'm feeling right now. Okay, so how can I go within when my feelings or emotions are so intertwined in my perceptions about what I think is occurring in my life right now? And is that, if that's what you're thinking, I understand because I wrestle with the same thing all the time. Okay, and I was telling Pam this morning, something new that I'm doing is that when my mind is twirling around all of this crap, right? I do, in the meditation I do a follow my breath meditation. I follow my breath and inhale God is, exhale I am. And just paying attention to my breath. Every time my mind goes away, I bring it back to my breath. Right? So what I started doing, no matter where I am, if my mind starts going crazy, right there, I start following my breath. And I follow my breath until that which is bothering me goes away. Right? I even do that now in the middle of the night. You ever wake up in the middle of the night thinking about all the stuff that's going on? Oh, God, I got to do this, right? And I start doing it. And I don't lay on my back and try to get all, you know, spiritual. I be laying on my side, laying any kind of way, and I just do this thing of following my breath, and the next thing I know, I'm gone. Yeah, so you can borrow that if you like. But listen to this analogy. Let's listen to this analogy. Between choosing fear or faith. There was a radio commercial that came on, and a waiter came up to the patron and said, do you want lobster or a grilled cheese sandwich? And the patron said, well, how much is a grilled cheese sandwich? He said, it's the same price as a lobster. Well, that seemed like a no-brainer, right? You would choose the lobster, okay? But the point here is choosing between living trapped in the perceptual reality of our outer experience or living within the true reality of our indwelling Christ is similar to the choice between a grilled cheese sandwich and lobster. They're both the same price. The price you pay is a thought. All right? In other words, in each situation in your life, you are unconsciously asking yourself, do I choose to spend this thought on fear, or do I choose to spend this thought on faith? They both cost the same. The price is a thought. And maybe a couple of feelings and emotion or two wrapped up in there, right? Okay. But even your feelings and emotions, even, you know, your feelings and emotions wrapped up in there, it's still gives you the opportunity to choose, do I want this thought to be spent on fear or do I want it to be spent on faith? Do I want grilled cheese sandwich or lobster? All right? So from now on, when you see for yourself getting up, you said, oh, I just chose a grilled cheese sandwich. All right? And yes, there is someone who may be thinking, but I prefer the grilled cheese sandwich. Which brings us to another interesting question, which is, do you prefer the lesser to the greater? Do you prefer fear to faith? And it might sound like a silly question, but it is so easy to fall into fear. It's just, you just sit back and have a smoothie or something, you're all up in it. It's a whole nother choice, amount of effort to choose faith. That's why so many of us are eating grilled cheese sandwiches. It is just so much easier, right? Yeah, exactly, And yes, in the past we may have been choosing grilled cheese sandwiches, and we've been choosing fear only because we did not know that we had another option, that we had a metaphysical option, which is to choose a divine reality that transcends our physical reality. That's the thing we got to get our head around, is that this stuff that I'm experiencing, as real as it feels, as much as I'm all wrapped up in it, it is not the truth. It's an illusion that I am choosing to wallow in. And I'm not putting that on you because I do the same thing, right, hon? Right? Okay. She'll tell me, what was your Sunday lesson you just taught? Right? So it's written in the book Prosperity by Charles Fillmore. And I like this. The Father has provided you with a universal seed substance that responds with magical power to the activity of your mind. Faith in the increasing capacity of this seed substance will always reward you with the fruits of your mental labor. Okay? Now, here's the key, though. If you use the universal seed substance faithfully to overcome the challenges in your life, it will produce an abundance of good in your life. But if you use the universal seed substance fearfully when confronted by the challenges in your life, it will produce results you may not like. It just is. It will multiply whatever you're thinking, but it has no thought about if this thinking is good or not good, okay? That's all up to us, okay? And you cannot ask for grilled cheese sandwich and expect it to taste like lobster. Nor can you pray to God in fear or use universal seed substance fearfully and expect a result that you'll be pleased with. And a lot of times when we go to God, we're going to God in fear. Oh, God, please, all right? And now you've realized that when you said, oh, God, please, that was a universal seed substance you just activated. And if you said that fearfully, stuff's going to happen that you're not going to like. But there's nothing there judging you. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that's judging you saying, oh, you use that fearfully, so I'm going to give you some bad stuff. Or you use a good, I'm going to give you some good stuff. There's nothing there that's doing that. It's all in your own mind. So how do we get to a point where we constantly choose faith over fear, where we prefer faith over, where we actually prefer faith over fear, all right? Because right now, whether we can agree to it or not, a lot of times we prefer fear over faith because it's just so much easier. So how do we get to a place where we prefer faith over fear? It's by a simple process, learning how to let go and let God guide you in every situation in your life. You just become mindless. Just for that moment. So prayer is not so much, God, can you just help me with this, blah, 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 blah. It's just sort of things have happened, and I'm finding myself doing this more and more, is that things happen and you have no response, no thought, nothing. Now, the people who are close to me, Pam, Patty, April, when things come up in that dimension, they know that when they say something to me about what's going on, that a lot of times I won't respond, but they understand it. And they know that I will come back later and I'll say, let's look at it this way. Okay? Because I have to let it what? Sit a bit. And percolate. See what spirit has got to say about it. You know, let your soul kind of bring up some ideas that will help you to really move forward. So this means in challenging situations, when you find yourself mentally, emotionally moving head first into a fear-producing challenge, headed towards fear instead of faith, reaching for that grilled cheese sandwich instead of lobster, stop everything, surrender your will to God, surrender to the divine, surrender to love, surrender to faith, surrender to strength and courage, surrender to the peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen.